Books.
Well, good morning. You know, the great thing about a holiday weekend is we don't have to, it just seems like we don't have to wait a day for book picks. They're just, we come back from vacation and boom, they're there. We have book pick time, and today is no exception to that. This morning we have two wonderful booksellers from two wonderful bookstores joining us with wonderful books that we should pay attention to. This morning we welcome Jim Havener. Is it Havener or Havener?
Havener.
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 I was realizing that I'm probably screwing up the name after all these years that I had sort of migrated away from the actual.
All right, I forgive you.
You can change it.
Yeah.
Joe says it's Havener. It's Havener.
Jim Havener from Green Toad Bookstore in Oneonta, New York. And Jim was nice enough. We did a broadcast. Laurel Elder was here a little bit ago, too.
Yeah.
We did a broadcast from Oneonta, and Jim was nice enough to come and be in the audience and cheer us on, and it was wonderful to see
you. Oh, it was a fantastic show.
Thank you.
What was that? I remember that from last time. What was the...
We did our panel segment live from Hartwick College. And
cool.
it was a really a very, very special
a breath
event.
Of fresh air, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, and we've gotten so many comments about that. It makes you feel good about the world, and we'll take anything that does that.
That's true.
Matt Tannenbaum is from the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Joe, we want to see you over in Lenox sometime.
Yeah, we'll get
you over there, right?
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there. We're working on it. We're working our way around the globe. So, the globe of WAMC. So we'll get there. I promise.
They start out in the far west.
Yes.
Way
out
on
the frontier.
Figure it all out. All right. Let's go. Now. This is interesting because I don't think I have an actual printed list from you, Jim. So we're just gonna wing it.
Okay.
But that's okay. So where would you like to begin?
I'd like to begin with a new novel, a debut novel called "The Boy from the Sea." It's by Garrett Carr, an Irish writer who's kind of wrote a book about the boundaries of Ireland. It's a nonfiction book, but this is a fiction. It's set in Ireland, the West Coast, in Donegal in the 1970s and 80s. And a baby boy is found inside a barrel, washing up on the shore. And the fisherman, Ambrose, finds him and takes him into his family. And the story really kind of revolves around the family and what goes on in Ireland in the 70s and 80s and joining the EU and what happens to commercial fishing rights and that. But the new boy, they give him the name Brendan, and he is a dazzling stunner of a person and amazes everyone. And the whole village kind of ends up taking him into their lives in that. And so it's a family history. It's very funny. It's very, very moving. It's how people bring someone new into their lives.
And how did you find this book?
How did I find this book? It came in a box at the store. To be honest with you,
Jim's my new straight man.
I can give you my answer to that question, which is I was in Oxford, England, and I was looking around for books that were Irish that perhaps I couldn't get in the States.
Right,
and so I put in to my phone best new Irish novels. And that one came up. Sean Hewitt's Open Heaven came up. John Boyne, who I think that book comes out in the fall.
Right. Right.
Those books came up. So that's how I found out about it. But good stuff. But I'm reading that and loving it.
I'm about halfway through it myself.
Really good stuff.
And who's the publisher?
Your friend Knopf.
Oh, Alfred Knopf. Yeah. Right, yeah. Jim and I were talking, I was mentioning the new Carl Hiaasen book is a Knopf book. And
yes.
Knopf is like the Cadillac of that line, of the Random House line. And was Carl Hiaasen always a Knopf author?
I believe so, although he may have been with Putnam early on.
Uh-huh.
But he has been with Knopf for, I want to say, at least 25 or 30 years.
Right. Because I guess I always just have been reading the paperbacks of the Hiaasens. So
yeah.
I didn't notice. I know it was Ballantyne and something like that.
He's had a long history with Knopf.
Yeah. So
That's one of your books.
Is that what you want to talk
about? Yeah, I'll start with Hiaasen.
Good.
I was going to start with something else, but since I jumped into Hiaasen, Fever Beach is the new one. And have you read this one, Joe?
I have.
And it's I can't believe how funny it is. I was just in Florida a month or so ago, and I read, because if you're in Florida, you have to read a Carl Hiaasen book.
Yes.
If you're a bookseller, you have to read a Carl
Dave
Hiaasen
Barry
book.
Dave Barry or Carl Hiaasen.
Right, and Barry has a new one out, too.
Yes,
I didn't
does.
Bring that. And I read Tourist Season, which was an old one from the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
But this one is, one of the reviews said he has these horrible people and he always makes a mockery of them, and he's over the top on the mockery of this one, and he's giving these people the vicious treatment that the real world so far hasn't been able to, and that's these characters. How can I describe this book?
Go ahead.
I mean, there's a lot going on because it's flirty in characters. So no one's a prize. Like no one is, you know, oh, this is the person you want to be.
Right.
Although there are two
redeeming
three characters in this particular novel that are the ones that you're rooting for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you're rooting for them. And you love how they're taking down the bad guys. And then you have these very small characters, or seem to be small characters, who show up and they are the linchpin of the whole plot. So it's a Carl Hiaasen book. It's Fever Beach is the name of the beach where the right wing plotters are planning their takeover.
And you know what I thought was just stunning about this novel is not only. I mean, he's taking on things that are well-trod territory as far as satire of what we're going through of this moment. But to put it into this place, you can see character. There's a Matt Gaetz in here. There's a fictional Matt Gaetz.
Right.
There's a fictional governor,
right.
DeSantis. So it's you see all of that, and yet. He still manages to be very original and extremely funny.
The originalness, right. The you know, I think because he goes, he knows who his characters are, and he knows, as they used to say, what that character had for breakfast. And he knows.
I don't know who says that. Matt said that. That's all right.
There's a good article in the current Atlantic on him.
You know, an actor, when an actor is on stage, that actor wants to know who that character is, who he or she is playing. They want to know what he had for breakfast, what kind of things. And that's what Carl Hiaasen, the author, has to know about these characters that he or she creates.
Well, it's a fantastic, and a great summer read, I would say. Carl Hiaasen, Fever Beach. We just had him on the book show. He's just remarkable, so always good stuff. Jim?
My next book is a new book out called The Correspondent. It's by Virginia Evans, and this book centers around a woman, Sybil Van Antwerp, who's lived her life through letters. That's how she makes sense of her world, And every day, every morning, she sits down and she writes a letter to her brother or best friend or to the president of the university who won't let her audit a class. And she sends letters to Joan Didion and Larry McCartney telling what she thinks about their books. And what I love about it is it's centered around the idea of writing letters, corresponding, sure. and the thoughts that are there. Of course, there's a letter written to a person that she never sends. And she writes a letter, let's say, once a week to this person. And then eventually something happens in her life that she should have sent those letters, and she hasn't. It's a very subtle book that kind of looks at the private thoughts of a person through their letters, whether they send them or whether they don't. It's a lovely read.
All right, very good. It is called The Correspondent by Virginia Evans. By the way, a quick Google search, Matt. Carl Hiaasen's first novel was Tourist Season. Came out in 1981, published by Putnam.
Right.
And then he moved over to Knopf in 1991 with Native Tongue and has been there ever since.
Ever since, okay. And I remember the paperbacks have moved to different Warner, Grand Central had paperbacks.
Delacorte, I believe. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But, all right, what do you got for us?
But this next novel that I have, this guy,
what's the publishing history of this one, Matt?
This is Yale University Press, and they have been publishing my friend Patrick Modiano now for a number of years. He came around with different publishers when he first was translated after he won the Nobel Prize in Literature in, I think, 2014. Godin had him, Nebraska had him, California has him, and now Yale has him. And Patrick Modiano, his new book. Joe, it's Patrick Modiano, my best friend.
Have you ever met him?
No. Well, I think I remember telling you once on the air that I thought I had met him once in Paris.
Yes.
At a party. But I wasn't sure, and you said, "Well, you can't say that then if you're not sure."
Yeah,
but I think we might have met.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah.
So Patrick Modiano, his
latest.
Hope
you'd remember.
You what?
I would hope you'd remember.
Maybe I should write him. You know, I'll write him a letter.
Yeah,
write him a letter.
Patrick,
right.
Remember this guy?
Remember me? No.
So what's Patrick Modiano up to?
His latest book is Ballerina. Translated by Mark Polizzati from Yale University Press. Polizzati has been translating him for a number of years now. Ballerina is the story. Modiano's books are all about his youth or the character's youth. Something happened and he's trying to remember it. This very first book that I remember reading, Suspended Sentences, there is a character in it who is trying to remember something that happened, was trying to find out something that happened, and an older person who's trying to forget what happened. And that's always been the case in every one of his books. There's always been some character who the older narrator is remembering back and running into somebody who he remembers having known 30, 40 years ago, in this case a guy who had rented the apartment to the ballerina who the narrator was living with or having an affair with, and now he sees him on the street and the guy says, "No, that wasn't me," but he says, "Come and have a drink with me and let's talk. And I'll give you my phone number. Give me a call. We'll talk about this." And he gives him two phone numbers, and the narrator calls both numbers the next day, and there's no answer. Did the guy even exist? But that was the guy. I know it was the guy. He's wearing the same ring that I remember he was wearing, you know, 40 years ago. But he says it wasn't him. So this is Modiano, and it's these vague.
Was
fog-like.
That in Paris at a party?
That was exactly. Were you there that show? I remember meeting you there, Joe. That was it. Ballerina, Patrick Modiano.
All right. Frequent listeners to this program will know that Matt often.
Whenever there's a Modiano book.
Yes. Well, so we love that, and it's good to know we have our fingers on the pulse of the Modiano. Oeuvre. Okay.
Wait. You know, Joe, I've read every one. People ask me, does Joe really read all those books? And I said, yeah. And I got to tell you, I've read every one of Modiano's books.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You don't believe me.
No, I do. I absolutely believe you. I hope you're getting a kickback at some sort.
Really.
Next up.
Next book is a novel called Friends of the Museum by Heather McGowan. The reason why I really like this book is when it came into the store is its cover. And it's a 17th century painting of a couple of women at each other's throats and some young man down below scratching his head as what's going on. And
that was that party in Paris.
That's that party in Paris. But this is my feeling every day when I get up and look at the news. But I like this book because I started my career out in museums. And this is about one day in a struggling New York City museum. And it's based around a lot of interesting characters within the museum itself. Diane Schwebe is the director of the museum, and the stakes are high for her as they're having their yearly gala that evening. She's sacrificed her professional reputation and the health of her marriage for the sake of the museum, and they're trying to stave off the institution's imminent ruin. So you meet her assistant Chris, Shay, the museum's loyal security officer, Henry, the general counsel, who always weasels his way out of a jam. But also, too, you learn about the characters that really make the museum, the line cook that runs the restaurant, the museum guard, the costume curator who's stuck in a rut, and the head of the museum's file program, whose first day on the job may well be his last. This all comes together in the evening time of all these different characters within this institution and how they are inescapably a team, but still not a team. And it's just a wonderful kind of zany, really kind of darkly funny story. But it's on museums, and that's where I started out. So I thought it was, and the cover's fantastic.
Yeah, it is a great cover. Friends of the Museum by Heather McGowan. All right, Matt.
Okay, I found a book called The Girl in the Middle. I found it in the box.
Yeah.
It came in the box with all the other books. The Girl in the Middle, A Recovered History of the American West by Martha Sandweiss, published by Princeton University Press. This is the story of a photograph taken at Fort Laramie in 1868 in the Dakota Territory the photographer was this guy, Gordon, who was a Scot immigrant who came to America in the 1850s, and Lincoln, he got Lincoln's ear. I mean, Lincoln liked this guy taking pictures of him. He took pictures of Lincoln. He took pictures of the Battle of Gettysburg. And then he got out west, and he took this photograph of a peace conference in Fort Laramie in 1868, where the government had sent six commissioners to make peace treaties with the Northern Plains Indians to get them off their land so that the East-West Railroad could go through, basically.
Right. It was with the Sioux, right?
It was the Sioux with Lakota, right. Yeah. And they gave them the Black Hills. After, you know, a minute later, after they signed the treaty, gold was discovered in the Black Hills, and there goes that treaty. But in this photograph, the photographer has these six former soldiers or current soldiers and non-military people and one young Native girl in the middle. The six people are staring at the two on the outside are looking at each other. The two next to them are looking at the cameraman, and the two next to the young girl are looking over her head because she's so short at each other. And they're all identified in this photograph, but she's not. And Martha Sandweiss, as a historian, wants to know who she was. And so she's written other books detective work in history. And this is a fascinating book. I love the Dakotas. My late wife was from the Dakotas. And I love all this history about what was going on in the American West. And she says, Martha Sandweiss says in an interview that I heard, there were so many rabbit holes because every one of these characters, she discovered their life stories. know, the photographer only got that one moment, but he got, but she got all the stuff leading up to that picture and the stuff after that picture. And one of the rabbit holes that she went down was, or what that I would like to go down, is that the she turns out she found out the name of the girl, Sophie Mousseau, whose mother was Lakota and father was French-Canadian trapper, who had passed through West Stockbridge, Massachusetts, on his way out west.
Hmm.
That's a rabbit hole I want to go down and find out, you know, why what the guy was doing there. So the girl in the middle is this great story about, and one of the things that Martha Samwise says is, write the names of the people in your photographs, so we don't have to do this mystery, this detective work.
Right.
Again, the girl in the middle. Okay, Jim.
Well, I have a book that's a mystery too. The Sinners All Bow. It's two authors, one murder, and the real Hester Prynne by Ooh. Kate Winkler Dawson. And this is a story about in a cold winter day in 1832. Sarah Marie Cornell is found dead in a quiet farmyard in a small New England town. And when they search for what happened, a trouble passed, and she has a secret correspondence with a Methodist minister is uncovered. More questions emerge. Was Sarah's death a suicide or something much darker? This story was written about by a Victorian writer, Catherine Reed Arnold Williams, who threw herself into the investigation of the trial, and she created the first American crime narrative, Fall River. And the murder divided the country and actually inspired Hawthorne's The Scarlet Letter.
Uh-huh.
And Kate Winkler Dawson comes back to this. She's a crime historian. And she goes back and nearly two centuries later and starts using modern investigative advancements like forensic knot analysis, which I never knew that was a thing, archival deep dives, and criminal profiling to fill in the gaps behind this unsolved murder that became, a cause célèbre in the country in that. And I just really loved it because it's a story about three women and what's happened to them. The victim, the two women that investigate, and that's a great crime story, and Hawthorne thought it was as well. And then you got the great book, The Scarlet Letter, out of it.
That's great. The Sinners All Bow, Kate Winkler Dawson. Okay, we have 2 minutes.
Okay, I have one more book by David Denby, a New York critic and writer, Eminent Jews. David Denby. Gives us bios and critique and analysis of four American eminent Jews: Leonard Bernstein, Mel Brooks, Betty Friedan, and Norman Mailer. Mm. Each one gets about close to 100 pages of a history and the introduction. He talks about why he wants to do this, and he's himself a Jew with an anglicized name. And then in each example he gives in the introduction, he ends up with Mel Brooks because Mel Brooks is funny, and you want to end up. So I was thinking, oh, I'm going to have to wait till I read the whole book to get to Mel Brooks. But he starts off with Mel Brooks, and so Brooks, Bernstein, Mailer, and Friedan, four American Jews in the 20th century who were eminent, and this is a lovely, lovely bio of them all.
That sounds great. Eminent Jews by David Denby. All right, we are out of time, gentlemen. I thank you very much for being with us, as always. You can see the full list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You can also go to bookstoreinlenox.com for Matt's store and greentoadbookstore.com for Jim's store. Jim and Matt, you're the best. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Always fun
Appreciate
to have
it.
You here.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.